Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Another Democrat debate last night. God, these things just drag on and on. The numbers are racking up. Who won? Who lost? Did anybody pay attention? Matt Mikowiak is my old friend from the U.S. Senate. He now runs the Potomac Strategy Group, working with candidates and issue groups all around the United States. And Matt was watching last night. So what'd you think, Matt?
Yeah, good morning, John. You know, it was an interesting debate. Normally, I'll be honest, these debates are for, you know, Republican like me, kind of tough to watch.
Right.
I'm not quite sure why, but this debate was a little easier to watch.
Hmm.
I don't know if it was the speed of the debate, the fact that they moved topics fairly quickly. The candidates really weren't going after each other, which was a surprise, given Mayor Pete Buttigieg, his rise in the polls, given the ideological differences between the sort of Warren wing and the Biden wing of the party. Look, I think the only real headline from last night is that the second-tier candidates had a good night.
Hmm.
Whether that ultimately matters, whether that, you know, changes anything fundamentally, I think is a separate question. But, you know, Amy Klobuchar and Cory Booker and even Andrew Yang and folks like that in that second tier, I thought had a pretty good night. Even Kamala Harris. It's not
just presentation-wise, or was there anything that they touched on that you think will resonate with their voters?
Good question. You know, when there's 10 candidates on the stage, it's kind of hard to remember what everyone said, with real specifics. I think part of it is sort of like what impression you get. And I just thought that those candidates had good nights, made good impressions, kind of made themselves appear, you know, more credible, more serious, and gave their candidacy, you know, kind of new life in a way. I really thought, you know, candidates were going to go after Mayor Pete, given his rise in the polls, and that really didn't happen. There was one moment where Tulsi Gabbard went after his comments about perhaps sending U.S. troops to Mexico, which he denied. But other than that, there were some good-natured disagreements about Medicare for All versus Medicare for All who want it. But other than that, I think the other takeaway is that the first-tier candidates remain in the first tier, right?
Yeah.
It is still Elizabeth Warren, Joe Biden, Bernie Sanders, and Mayor Pete Buttigieg in the first tier. And there's still pretty good distance between the first tier and the second tier.
Mm-hmm. A few of them went after Tulsi Gabbard for spending so much time on Fox News, which, you know, I guess you've got to contemplate whether that's wise if you're going to be in the Democrat primary and you're speaking to Republicans. But I would think that in the end, that type of exposure, if you sound reasonable and you're not, you know, crazy leftist, that's a good thing to do.
Yeah, I mean, look, Gabbard is just a very unusual candidate on the Democratic side.
She's actually physically attractive, too, I think.
Well, there's that. But, I mean, just ideologically, she's really hard to describe.
Mm-hmm.
She's you know, fairly moderate on abortion. She is non-interventionist, almost sort of from the Rand Paul school of non-interventionism. And, you know, she's willing to criticize her own party. And she, you know, does that with kind of courage, and she's articulate and courageous in a way that you just don't see. And so she went after sort of the mainstream of the Democratic Party, reiterated criticism of Hillary Clinton last night. And there was a back and forth she had with Kamala Harris about her willingness to meet with Bashar Assad in Syria, which she did a couple years ago, and which
right.
she defended at the time and kind of defended last night. She's a curiosity, but really kind of a non-factor. I don't think she's going to be, you know, a real factor in the early states or have any real chance to be the nominee, obviously.
Or would be on the short list for VP if one of these guys got
no,
the
yeah, yeah, I just... Yeah, there's just not much of a constituency there, and I think the mainstream of the party would have a total freak out if she were to be put in the cabinet or considered VP or anything like that, or even given a speaking slot at the convention. I think she's going to. I think they're going to treat her as though she doesn't exist once she's no longer on the debate stage, which could be as soon as next month.
Yeah. How about Joe Biden? I mean, he's still, my perception is that I know the Democrats want to win so badly, so they would put up whoever they think can beat Trump. They're willing to, you know, swallow hard and put that person up, I think. But he just keeps revealing that he's a step behind. He's not where he was. I've always thought he was kind of a shyster, but he's not even a good shyster anymore.
No, and you know, it's, in a way, it's almost sad because having watched Joe Biden closely for all these years, you know, he's always, you know, been someone who's made a gaffe here or there, but he's done it in kind of a lovable way. And he's, you know, just a very decent person, a good and decent person. This is a little bit sad. It's a little bit like watching someone who retires from pro sports and someone convinces them to unretire and they come back in their first game and they play poorly. And you can just kind of tell they're not who they once were. And that's kind of where he is now. I mean, you know, you rarely watch him give an answer in debate and think, boy, that was really sharp.
You nailed it, right?
Yeah, he never nails it. Like, sometimes it's adequate at best, but most of the time it's not even adequate. It's not quite clear what point he's making. He's not sort of quick on his feet. He's not able to sort of, you know, land an attack in the other direction. He's not really able to defend himself. You know, last night, I mean, it's a small thing, and it doesn't matter in the grand scheme of things, but he was trying to make the point that the first African-American senator, Carol Moseley Braun of Illinois, had endorsed him in talking about African-American support. He said, the only African-American senator. Well, of course, you have another African-American senator on the stage, Kamala Harris, who's running for president. So there was kind of a moment there where she rose, you know, raised her hand and said, no, I haven't endorsed you. You know, it was kind of a funny moment.
But still, it highlights that you're just not in command of what's happening.
Not in command, you know, and obviously, you know, older. And look, age, I mean, I'm not a huge fan of ageism. You know, some 78-year-olds are really sharp and are totally fine. Some, you know, 68-year-olds are not sharp. And he's in his mid to late 70s and is clearly not sharp. And so I do think it's going to continue to be an issue for him.
Hey, I'm watching the clock, but I got to ask you your reaction to the impeachment hearings. You think Trump is getting beaten up badly here? I think Joe Biden's getting hurt. But I had the ABC guy on a couple of minutes ago really pushing back on me on that.
Yeah, look, I think there's a huge disconnect between how the national media and elites are watching these hearings and how average people are watching them. First of all, I don't think most average people are watching them.
Yesterday, the ratings are down.
Yesterday was 7 or 8 hours. I mean, most people just, number one, don't have the time and don't have the pain threshold to sit through that. You know, I was watching Sondland yesterday, the ambassador to the EU, and in the opening statement, I thought, good Lord, this is bad. But then you watch the questioning, and he starts to, you know, his opening statement kind of gets picked apart. So, look, I haven't seen anything that puts Trump in any danger. He may very well get impeached by the House. They may feel they have to do it. The Senate is going nowhere. And I don't think the public supports impeachment at this stage. Yeah. There's a poll in Wisconsin that had 53% against it and 40% for it. So, I mean, the Democrats think they finally found something here. I just don't see it. This is not a high crime or misdemeanor. There's not a lot there. And I don't think the impeachment hearings, the public phase, has changed the game the way they thought it would.
Yeah. I appreciate you sharing that with us. It kind of validates my instinct, but sometimes I talk to these news people and start to wonder whether I'm out of sync there. But Matt Makowiak, the president of the Potomac Strategy Group, my good friend from our days in the U.S. Senate, I always appreciate it when I get a chance to talk to you. Thanks, Matt.
Take care, John.
We'll come back and check traffic and weather in just a moment. News Radio WRVA.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.